Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. God bless the reading of his word. Lord, I pray that you would be with us today and speak through me as we learn about your words and the reminders that you give us when we go through trials. We bless you and we praise you. Would you inspire my words today? So good morning. If I haven't met you, my name is Linka. I'm one of the family pastors here, and I'm really excited to talk to you guys about trials and testing today. And to begin, I want to tell you about Biosphere 2, which is basically this mini Earth that's owned by the University of Arizona. And these scientists use it for the research of the living systems of our planet. It's more than 3 acres of giant terrarium, and it's the largest closed system ever created. When they first started Biosphere 2, trees grew much faster in there than they did in the wild. But they wouldn't fully mature. They would collapse on themselves before they could reach their full height. They had light and soil and water and all the things that you would think would make a tree feel really happy. But there was one very important thing missing from the tree's environment: wind. The wind kept trees constantly moving, bent and pushed back and forth all the time. The trees, in response, grow something called stress wood. And stress wood has a different cellular structure than the rest of the tree. And because of that, it can shift the placement of the tree so it can access more light or other resources. And so the stress is actually what makes the tree seek out what it needs to grow. That's why we sometimes see trees bent in all kinds of awkward shapes. Think of our beautiful Vancouver Island arbutuses, arbuti, up for debate, by the seaside, and they're bent at all these unusual angles, or when trees push up concrete sidewalk. Within Biosphere 2, where there was no wind and therefore no resistance, trees didn't develop that ability to be resilient. They grew up weaker and without the ability to adapt. An easy life led to weak, collapsing trees. Which brings me to my main point, which is that trials and testing in our life produces steadfastness, allowing us to press on towards the goal. And the goal, as Joseph said last week, is that fusion, union with Christ, God's will and our will being fused together. When I was first given the topic of trials and testing, I was like, first of all, thanks, that's the most popular one. But second of all, I don't know if I need to teach about them, because people are pretty well acquainted with the hardships that this life throws at us. But I also know that it's equally important to understand why we go through them, and to have things to anchor ourselves to when we are in trials. And so today, I'm not going to tackle the question of suffering and why God allows it, but if you are curious about that, there's a great message on our website by Trudy that explores that topic throughout the book of Job, so I direct you there. But what I will do today is I'll point to some things that James teaches us through this passage about trials and testing. Three reminders during trials. So let me first point out that the word perseverance in verse 2 is actually the same Greek word that Dawson and Paul preached about. So we really want you to get it by now. It's the Greek word hypomenon, which in different instances is translated as endurance or perseverance, and sometimes as steadfastness. Now, you've probably had enough of perseverance and endurance, so I'll focus on the steadfastness aspect of this word. So I want you, as we go through this passage, as we explore it, to pay attention to the different images of steadfastness, or lack thereof, that we find as we explore. So trials and testing in our life produces steadfastness. And my first reminder is that trials produce character. Many verses, both throughout the Old Testament, where it talks about being tested as silver and gold in Proverbs, and the New Testament, show how trials produce perseverance, steadfastness, character, endurance, hope, genuineness of faith, and how Christ's glory is revealed through them. I have just a few of them on the screen here. I couldn't fit them all. It's already cluttered. So we can see that it's apparent that in this world, we will go through trials. Even Jesus says that. But it's also clear that they are important for the growth of mature Christian character. So let's define trials. Trials are the things that puts one's character to the test. One of the commentaries I read put it nicely. Outward trials often become the occasion of an inward temptation to sin. And this is, as the verse says, all kinds of trials. How many of you have pet peeves? I know I have lots. People playing bad music on the beach or on a hike. The way a glass of water looks when greasy hands grab it. And wet socks. I really, really don't like having wet socks. Oh, spoilers. I remember when I was in college, all those many years ago, and I was taking an ethics class, and our prof was talking about how our true ethics come out when we are in less than ideal situations. And he was encouraging us and saying, I hope your true ethics come out when you're hungry, tired, lonely, angry, and I hope that you're proud of them. And in that moment, one of my friends texted me, yes, I texted in class, and said, when you have wet socks, I hope your character, your ethics come out. And it's true, our true character is tested in the moments where we least want to count it as joy. Like the ones I listed before, the little pet peeves, but also things that are far, far worse than wet socks. Trials don't produce faith, but they reveal it to ourselves and to others. James talks about being mature and complete, which we know won't happen in its fullness on this earth. But again, it's about that goal that Joseph talked about pressing on towards being completely unified with Christ, even when our socks are wet or far worse. And this is why we get to rejoice and count it all joy when we face the things in our life that really, really stink. The more wind, the more steadfast the tree. And we rejoice because these trials allow us to become more and more like Christ, who's called the suffering servant, who suffered the worst fate so that we may be made like him. But how do we have faith in these moments where we least want to? That brings me to my next reminder, which is that trials produce dependency on God. We cannot go through trials on our own. In verse 4, James talks about when we're fully complete, not lacking anything. But if you lack wisdom, you should ask God. So this is God's offer of help for those of us facing trials. He gives generously without finding fault. And this is how we can face those trials, with the wisdom that God gives us, understanding the nature of our trials and how to face them with the victory that Christ gives us. And the part that says God gives generously to all without finding fault can be a little confusing. So let me explain it to you with a scenario. Let's say Joseph just left the room, but this is about him. Let's say I ask Joseph if I can have some of his Advil because I forgot mine at home. This is based on true events. He's happy to share. But let's say this happens again. He's like, okay, sure, happy to share. But the third time, I think my internal dialogue would be something like, oh man, I really should learn to bring my own Advil. He's already given me so much, I won't ask him again. I'll just suffer through this headache. When I would bet that, in fact, Joseph would rather have me go through my workday unhindered by a headache. And we can often have that attitude with God, when in fact, God is ready to add new blessings to former ones without any end or limitation, as John Calvin said. So personally, I probably won't push my luck with Joseph. I'll learn to bring my own Advil. But you can ask God, who gives generously to us when we go through trials. When we go through trials and face suffering in our life, we're quick to go to Google. I myself am an avid symptom Googler. Podcasts, ChatGPT, books, other people, anything but God. But James here, he reminds us that when we rely on ourselves, when we doubt God's provision in the midst of suffering, that we are like a wave of the sea, completely lacking in stability in all we do. In order to survive these difficult things that come our way, our faith has to be more than just ritual. Our faith has to be more than just an acceptance of a belief. It has to expect God to come through for us in hard times. And this is something that's really hard to do sometimes, to believe and to not doubt. It reminds me of a story in the Gospel of Mark that contains a powerful and real prayer that often comforts me in times of doubt. The story is of a man who comes to Jesus asking him to heal his son who had been demon-possessed for most of his life. And the man says, "If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." This raw prayer is so human and so powerful, and it may seem like that double-mindedness that James was talking about, but in reality, in spite of all his weaknesses and his doubts, this man set his heart on belief by relying on the help of the Lord. The theologian Spurgeon said, "While men have no faith, they are unconscious of their unbelief. But as soon as they get a little faith, then they begin to be conscious of the greatness of their unbelief." So what James is saying is not that we can never doubt, but that we must set our hearts on belief despite our doubts. This is what makes us unlike a wave of the sea. This is what gives us steadfastness when we are wholly dependent on the help of the Lord. And my last reminder is that trials are temporary. This section of our passage may seem like James is bringing up a whole new subject, talking about the rich and the humble. And sometimes the books of James can be similar to the book of Proverbs, where it just kind of throws nuggets of wisdom at you, sometimes unrelated. But if you look again later in verse 12, it explicitly comments again on persevering through trials, which leads me to believe that this section is all connected and it continues to teach about trials, specifically that they are temporary. For believers in humble circumstances, suffering for Christ's sake in this life lifts them to a position of honor, as they are reminded that the trials of this life won't last forever and that there is an everlasting crown set before them. On the other hand, trials serve to remind those who are well off that wealth and earthly comforts in this life are also temporary. James talks about how just like the flower that is here today and withered by the sun, just as quick, the rich will fade away. And notice how James doesn't just say riches, but the rich, those who have put their identity in being rich. And this can be a comfort for us in trials when we know that our identity is not in something that can fade like riches, but in something that is eternal. Verse 12 talks about how blessed are those that persevere through trial. And this blessedness is translated as a transcendent happiness beyond care, labor, and death. Our trials and testing are temporary, but when we are steadfast in them, we are blessed because we stood the test. Last week, Joseph said how a lot of people start the race, but few finish. And this is often due to the fact that people get bogged down and are overcome by the trials of this life. And we sometimes give eternal stock to things that are temporary, trials and comforts alike. However, we get to look forward to a crown of life that is everlasting. And our motivation to stand the test of time, we see it at the end of the verse, those who love him. We remain steadfast. We continue to press on because we love him, because we want to be with our Savior face to face for all eternity, where every tear will be wiped away and there will be no more sorrow and no more pain. And one verse that comes to mind when I remind myself of the temporary nature of trials is Romans 8:18, which says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." I'm going to invite the music team back up at this time. So as we finish, I encourage you to reflect as we sing on the eternal crown that is waiting for us, knowing that these trials produce Christian maturity and Christ-likeness and steadfastness, knowing that we cannot press on by our own strength, but are wholly dependent on the help of the Lord, knowing that these situations that life throws at us are as temporary as withering grass, and that we are able to remain steadfast under trial, knowing that it will be worth it, and that we can sing, "It is well with my soul." As we sing, on the screen, I will have three short prayers connected to each reminder in my message that you can feel free to pray over yourself as we sing these songs of reflection. You can pray all three, or you can pray one of them over and over again. And I want to encourage you to take them with you throughout your week or life, as we will inevitably face trials, so that you can remind yourself of their purpose, their temporary nature, and above all, of God's comfort, even in the midst of them. Let me pray over you now. So help us, Lord, rejoice in trials and testing. Produce in us Christ-like character and maturity. God, we do believe. Help our unbelief. Produce in us dependency on you. Remind us that this life, trials and comforts alike, are temporary. Fix our eyes on the everlasting crown of being with you for all eternity. Let's sing.